I'd like you to notice the translator's heading over the very top of the page in this chapter of the Bible. And probably your Bible will have this same heading as well. It is not inspired scripture. It is the categorizing or the summary of the passage. The church's hope and calling. The church's hope and calling. And then let me draw you down to verse 13, the end of the verse. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then the verse 14. O my dove. Yesterday's newspaper, there was a very nice picture of an elderly gentleman right down in the pier at White Rock feeding pigeons. Story says that he's been doing this for 17 years and would appear from the flock that was feeding around him that he's been doing that for a long while indeed. Some were even sitting on his shoulder, flying overhead. He had a little walking aid or a little buggy of some kind, and in there he had the food that he was bringing out for them. And it was a very clear color picture. We're living in an age now today when even our newspapers have color photographs. And it was easy to see the markings of the various birds. Now the Bible calls pigeons doves. They are the very same family. And there's a reason for this. In this verse 14, the Lord calls His church His dove. And here we have another type of the church, another type of the people of God whom the Lord has redeemed and saved, whom He loves and whom He cherishes. This word dove, I think it could be taken two ways, referring to the pigeon bird, or it is that term of endearment, my dove. I think our wives would even accept that term from time to time if we were to say to them, my dear, my dove. That would be appreciated. And no doubt this term, where the Lord says here in verse 14, O my dove, He is speaking of that relationship, that affection, that delight that He takes in His own church, in His own people. And it is a call. He says at the end of that verse 13, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. There's an invitation for union, communion, and fellowship. And here is the call of the Lord to leave the world. Leave the mundane material things of this world. Come away. Arise from the everyday things. And come. Let us enter into this great devotion one toward another. And again from this we learn the deep love the Lord has for His church. When we come through the doors of the church, park our car, walk into the foyer and meet one of the deacons, and come right up the aisle and take our seat. This is something we need to know. I am entering into a call from my Lord to spend time with Him in renewed fellowship and adoration because He delights. He delights in me. He calls me His dove. Now the dove is unique in the Bible. It's the only creature that is a type of the Holy Spirit. And I think that tells you a lot. The third person of the Trinity, holy, pure, whose work is to infuse holiness in His people. The type given of the Holy Spirit descending on our Lord Jesus was as a dove. The dove descending on our Lord as He came up out of those waters of baptism. The bird, the dove, was the only bird that came back into the ark. When Noah released the raven and the bird and the dove to go see if the waters were descending. Of course, the raven never returned. It was quite willing to feast on the rotten flesh of the judgment of God upon a world of sin. But when the dove was released, and there was no dry land yet, that dove soon returned back into the ark again. The dove, the turtle dove or pigeon, same family, the only bird that was allowed in sacrificing in the temple. If a person was poor and could not afford a sheep or a larger animal, they went to the market and purchased a dove, relatively cheap, but that acceptable sacrifice to the Lord because of its very nature. The only bird used to illustrate the church of the Lord Jesus. Here is the Lord saying to His church, "My dove." Now we are commanded to imitate the dove. We are to be dove-like. The Lord sent out His disciples, "Be ye as harmless as doves, wise as serpents." And the people of God who are truly in the church, and this is the great issue. We have been spending a couple of weeks already trying to define the shades of difference between the church triumphant in glory, that invisible church. There is the church globally, there is the church locally, and then there is the church in your heart. And if you are a true member of the church, born of the Spirit, you will have this dove-like nature. It is a commentary on the very power of the new birth experience. We that were ravagers and savages by nature, in sin and in our depravity, when the Holy Spirit comes, when He dwells within the human heart, regenerating and converting us, we are changed, and we now possess the dove-like spirit. Now, it is more than legal. It is more than just a profession of new religion. It's more than just turning over a new leaf and starting all over again. To be born again is to truly have a new nature, a new seat of desires, a new goal in life, and your new nature is equated and likened here to the Spirit and the very nature of the dove. Now, where that nature is bestowed, in other words, if you've really been converted, the Holy Spirit has come into your life, there will be the outward working, the manifesting of this new nature in your heart and in your soul. Now, I speak here to Christians. The Lord loves the dove-like spirit. Now, we know that the Lord loved us not because we were born good or we were gentle in nature from the day of our entry into this world. The Lord loves us because of Calvary, because of the grace of God, because of gospel mercy. And He sets His love upon wicked sinners, and He changes them and saves them. But the Lord loves His people that manifest the new dove-like spirit, the new nature. And if you are saved and you're asking, "Does the Lord love me?" then I must say that the Lord will love you, of course, for Calvary's sake. He loves us because of the blood. He loves us because of redemption. But does He love communion with me? Then He loves us when we display that new dove-like spirit. To the Christian, there is this new nature begun. Old things are passed away. So I want us to dwell on our need to manifest, produce, bear fruit, bring forth a dove-like spirit. A dove-like spirit. And this is what the Lord delights in. He calls His church here, "My dove." And He wants us to manifest, bring forth that very dove-like spirit. I have a few thoughts on this. Firstly, the Lord delights in your dove-like holiness. The dove is a creature of habit, and purity is one of its greatest habits. And indeed, so many of its habits are based upon its nature of purity. It is that instinct that doesn't even need to be instilled from a classroom instruction. You don't see the mother pigeon saying to all those little baby doves or pigeons, look up here, A, be clean. B, be pure. C, be lovely in your outward appearance. Baby pigeons are born with this instinct for cleanliness and for purity. Their habit is to feed only on the purest grain. When I was a boy walking to school, biking to school, between our home and school there was a feed mill. And there would be all manner of trucks coming and going with grain in and out, and the elevators rumbling as you went by. And all the time there were these flocks of pigeons. They came in all directions and colors and shapes and sizes, but they were right there on the mill. Now there was another landfill outside our town, and you never would have seen these birds in the landfill. The seagulls were there. Oh, they flocked. The crows came in abundance, and they fed upon the stench and the filth of the landfill. But the pigeon was at the feed mill, because there, as the elevators carried the grain, they could sweep up and swipe up the pure grain and feed upon that. There's the nature of the dove. And the Lord loves His people when we have that nature, that we feed on that pure grain. The filth of the world, the stench of wickedness and sin, when you profess that you are a child of God and you feed on the filth of this world, it's betraying your very profession. And it's certainly bringing no delight to the Lord Himself. And again, when Noah sent out the raven, it never returned, because that old raven was quite happy to feed on the carcasses, the stench and stink of the aftermath of the flood. And we know from the fossil record that the whole world was just one big graveyard after the waters assuaged and they came out of the ark. And that raven was having a great time. But the dove returned. I have to ask you today, what are you feeding on? If you love the Lord Jesus, He's your Savior, and the Holy Spirit has come into your life, are you feeding like a dove? Are you given the very example of one who has been changed into that wonderful image of the Lord Jesus? Are you like a Mary, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, delighting to hear His word? Are you saying, well, I believe in the Bible, but I don't really feed much on it. I'd rather be feeding on a soapbox television scene rather than on the pure things of God. I'd rather be feeding in the entertainment world than feeding in the house of God. See, the dove by new nature, the Christian by new nature, will want to feed on the purest of the grain. The dove's habit also is to drink pure water. There are other birds like herons and so on, and they're quite happy to stand in the stinking stench and of the calm pools of water that are stagnant. And there they fish for the slugs and the snails that they can find. But the dove will not do so. It will go to the fountain. It will go to the place where the purest of water can be found. And to the believer, this fountain is the giver of the promises of life. We love that promise of the water of life that comes to us, and we seek no other fountain from this. Psalm 46 speaks about there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And we delight to receive our quench the thirst of our souls from that river of life that makes glad our very souls. Another habit of the dove is to keep company with the flock of other birds of like nature. The dove will be found in flocks. They will delight in the company of others who have that like interest and common habits. In fact, it's very rare to see a pigeon all alone. And if you were a grain farmer and you were concerned about the birds stealing the grain, you could be sure that if you see one, there's many more not far away. There's going to be a flock of them. And that's the nature of the dove. It is that instinct. It is that new nature. And the Lord uses this as a picture and a type of the church, even here on earth. God's people, born again by the Spirit, that new nature in them, they have this desire to congregate, to assemble under the banner of the Lord, to worship, to praise, to sing, and tell forth the news of the Lord Jesus. Not the nature of born-again people to want to be alone. And the doctrine of holiness, the songs of joy in the Lord, will witness the new nature. And we must keep the right company. Now, just to give you a little light relief here, this is a little bit off track, but it's an interesting little story I came across about a farmer who had a bit of a problem with crows. And he went out with his gun, and he took a bit of a blind shot at this bunch of crows that were feeding. They were pulling up his young corn. Well, the farmer had a parrot. And the parrot, imitator as it is, went off and did the same thing as the crows. And of course, when the farmer's gun went bang, what happened was he shot three crows dead, and the parrot, he was injured. All the feathers were blown off him. And as he took the parrot back home again, his children were asking, "How did it happen, Daddy? How did it happen?" The answer was, bad company. Bad company. And of course, we know that we as Christians need to be in the right company. And we trust that we're in the right company today. That you've come with that new nature to be with the Lord's people. And you're not going to get shot at by the Lord. You're not going to be injured. You're in a safe place. A place where you will be encouraged and strengthened and built up in your faith. Another thing about these, the dove, is that they're faithful to their mates. Pigeons have life partners. That's a very interesting thing. And there is this instinctive loyalty that when they choose out a mate, that's it for life. And there is within this loyalty, and they know each other, they keep to each other, they raise not only a family, but many families. Pigeons are prolific in bringing forth offspring. But they keep together as loyal mates. Now, the church's soulmate, our mate, our spouse is the Lord. And we are loyal to Him. There are others who would come along and seek to steal our devotion, to steal away our delight. But there is only one head of the church. There is only one to whom we will give our worship and our adoration. And others may come and seek to steal that away, but our hearts are set and our hearts are fixed. And this evening, we're going to learn about the modernism that has come into the church in the 20th century. We're going to learn how the church was hijacked to another religion, to not the God of the Bible, but the God who is natural versus supernatural. The God who is man instead of the God of heaven. And the true believer with this new nature, the nature of the dove, will be loyal to the Lord Jesus, will be faithful to the Lord Jesus. We love His cross. We love His redemption. We love His mercy. We love His word. And this fidelity is the mark of a new birth experience in the child of God. Now, there's another likeness here. The dove is very fussy about its appearance. Indeed, if you turn to the Psalm 68:13, you have a reference there to the markings of the dove or the pigeon. The Psalm 68:13. In the middle of the verse it says, "Yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold." Now you know that doves or pigeons come with many marking characteristics. Indeed, this is one of the reasons why Charles Darwin used pigeons in his experiments for evolution. And he thought that because of the varieties of the pigeon family and all the various characteristics that could be bred into them or out of them, that he could prove evolution among species. The only problem is, it only worked with pigeons. He didn't cross a pigeon with a rabbit or a dog or anything else, that they could only breed amongst their own species, family. So, the experiment was interesting, perhaps, but proved nothing as far as evolution goes. But the dove is very, very careful about her appearance. And did you ever see a pigeon defiled, besmirched, with muck and mud and filth? No, they always keep their appearance very clean. Now, if you have been born again and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you will be careful about the whole matter of appearances. Appearances. Now, many people say, but appearances, that smells of hypocrisy. If you're only interested in appearances, that means that you're just pretending to some degree. Well, that would be true if you're a crow and you're trying to put on the feathers of a dove. That would be true if you have a nature of a bird of prey and have a nature of a savage and pretending to be a different kind of bird. But if you truly have been born again and you have the dove nature within, then it is only right, it is only fitting that you display the dove nature and manifest those attributes and characteristics of appearance. Now, Paul the Apostle told us to abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. And so a Christian who has a dove-like nature, born of the Spirit, it will matter how we appear. It will matter the language we use, whether it's the crude language of the world or the heavenly language or the language that is without question. It will matter how we dress. And those labels and those symbols of the rebellious world, however they appear in the fashions of the day, the Christian is concerned about appearances. And just as that dove shone, colors of silver and gold, the various markings of the bird, well, appearance certainly mattered. Our Lord Jesus said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." If you have a dove-like nature within, you'll be known by your fruits. The gentleness, the truth, the honesty, the new nature, the Holy Spirit working in you. And the Lord has said to let your light shine before men. The Holy Spirit doesn't come inside the Christian to make us secret disciples. We're not in a secret order. We're not called as born-again believers to do things in the dark. But rather we are to be children of light, children of the day. And we're to show forth the Lord in all of our dealings with men. Doesn't mean we're always on a soapbox preaching. But it does mean we're always acting as a Christian. There's never a time when a born-again believer switches off from being a Christian. We're a Christian 24/7. We are if we have a new heart, we will have a new life and a new walk before the world. And the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts not to create secret disciples, but to make us witnesses. Indeed, in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And that is certainly the habit of the born-again believer. One last habit of the dove or the pigeon, that is its mourning. Isn't it strange or almost to be noticed here that the Lord chose a bird that is by no means the best singer in the world? Well, I'm glad for that. I'm very glad for that. If I was a Christian on terms of how I sing, I wouldn't rank very well at all. But this bird is marked for its mourning. When you get in amongst a flock of pigeons, you probably think you're at a funeral rather than at a party rejoicing. There is that mourning spirit and that serious approach. When you translate that into the life of the Christian, some people think, you know, when you're saved, you're going to be the happiest man on earth singing hallelujah every day. Sounds great. But there are many things in this world that cause us to mourn. We mourn over the world. We mourn over the state of the Lord's church. And when God's people are praying for the church, pleading earnestly, groaning to God for the power of the Holy Ghost to visit His church, that's the dove-like nature. Or maybe we're mourning over our own personal lives, our weakness, our shortcomings, our infirmities, our prayerlessness, our spiritual coldness. And we get on our knees and we confess and we lament to God over those things. But like the book of Lamentations, there you have the preacher lamenting over the things that need to be put right. That's the dove-like spirit. That's the spirit that rejoices the Lord. That's the spirit that pleases when we mourn over those things that need to be renewed and revived. I think that we need to be mourning over the life of this church. We have much to thank God for. We're living in times of dearth and dryness, time when we are powerless to win the lost, powerless to advance the Lord's church, to see it triumph in this community. God, to melt our hearts. When the Lord sees us realizing these things and mourning over them, He's well pleased. He likes that dove-like spirit of mourning. But if you're in the testimony of Christians where everything's great, everything's wonderful, within there's barrenness and dryness, and it's just a make-believe attempt to say that the church is living in revival. I remember a preacher in this city. Every time I ran into him, church was in revival. Great things happening. Amazing things happening. Well, it just sent my spirit level right down to the bottom. I wish I could have said such things, but they weren't real. They weren't real. And how we do need to be realistic. In the church of the Lord Jesus, when God's people realize sin is advancing, our youth are turning to the world, the world's grip is stronger than ever, and Satan is seeking to come to destroy the flock, and especially the lambs of the flock, ought it not to drive us to mourn and plead with God for His grace and power? Now the Lord likes that. The Lord delights in that dove-like nature. And He will bless it. He will hear. Now let's switch gears a little bit from the habits of the dove to another aspect. And this is not so much the habits, but Its very nature of its creation, it's harmless. There's not a more harmless symbol than the dove. Totally harmless. And I make this a new category because it's, you can't say that this is the habit of the dove, but rather it's its whole being. It's its whole life. It's a defenseless creature. It has no claws. It has no teeth. It has no way of attacking. It is a bird that is completely defenseless. Certainly not a bird of war. It's a messenger. It's a messenger. That's what this bird is. It's not violent, but it works by a faithful carrying of the message. And that's what the church of the Lord Jesus is. The Lord puts his church into the world, not with carnal weapons, not with physical force, but we're messengers in a world to bring the truth and the message of the Lord Jesus. And the world knows that the church is not to be a church that is violent and forceful. One of history's controversies is over John Calvin and his input in the execution of a man called Servetus in the city of Geneva. John Calvin debated him and exposed his heresies. He was arrested, but he was not only arrested for his heresy, he was a civil disobedience. He was a rebel to the Geneva city. And he was summarily executed. Now, many have sought to take advantage of that situation and blacken the city of Geneva, blacken the name of John Calvin, and say, how could they be true men guilty of such an accusation or such an execution of this man called Servetus? Well, that's one of those dark blots on Protestantism and is blown out of proportion, and the context is hardly ever understood. But many look upon it as a big reason why anyone that's in the Reformed area of church life have to be wrong. Why? Because people know the church is not sent to rule by physical force. You don't build a spiritual kingdom with physical armies and weapons and weaponry power. Our work is spiritual. The Lord has given us spiritual weapons. The weapon of prayer, the weapon of preaching, the weapon of propagating the truth. He has given us the Holy Spirit to bless that work. And the Lord delights when His church is advancing by these harmless means, seeking to do good, bringing people out of the darkness into the truth. I didn't even take time to speak of the whole history of the persecutions of the Church of Rome and the advances of Islam, all by physical force and brutalities of many kinds in the millions. But the Church of the Lord Jesus advances spiritual means. It seems weak. It seems almost pointless in a world where we're dealing with weaponry of atomic bombs and so on, and you see a band of Christians gathering in a prayer meeting, going to prayer to cry to God in an isolated location. How is that the battleground for the church of the Lord Jesus? Why? Because we're doves, not hawks. We're not fighting on the political front line or the military front line. The front line of the church is the place of prayer, the spiritual weaponry that God has given to His people. And so the church advances by this harmless way of doing things. And the Lord said to His disciples, behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And they went out to preach and teach, to witness. And by this peaceable manner, the Lord is pleased, and He's glorified, and He shows forth His power. And remember that this is the power that changed the Roman world, that has changed Europe, that has changed nations. not by physical force, but by the power of the gospel. Do you believe in that today? Do you believe in this gospel we preach? Do you believe that it is the power of God unto salvation? Then you will be as the dove, working, striving by these spiritual means to build the church of the Lord Jesus. And then thirdly, the Lord delights in the helpless nature of the dove. You'll notice as we go back here to the Song of Solomon 2, verse 14, I didn't even finish that text, verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, the place of refuge. And the pigeon or the dove, instead of seeking a defense of its own, it finds a hiding place, a safe place in the rocks. And there it goes, there it seeks shelter. And of course the hymn writer has taken up that very thought, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The Christian finds his refuge in the Lord Jesus. We are helpless in a sinful, ungodly world. We need a Savior. We need to fly and flee to the wounds, the cleft side of our Savior, out of which poured the blood of life and power and protection for every believer in the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you, the Lord delights when we confess our helplessness and flee to Him. He delights in being our Savior and hiding us in the times of our storm. If you would think of a medical doctor who seeks to specialize and train in medicine, to open a clinic, to help people, and this has often been done in the mission field, and the person goes out at great cost and great preparation time involved to open a clinic, but nobody will come. And there are the poor, suffering people in the community, and they look at this clinic, they watch it being opened, they even see the strange-looking missionary stand with his clinic gown on. Nobody will visit. Maybe the witch doctor has said, you know, there'll be a curse on you if you go in there. They won't go in. They won't use the services, the expertise to relieve the suffering that are available. What a grief that would be to a missionary doctor. What a grief it must be. And then to have the first client enter the door. What a joy it would be. Here is someone who is truly going to put themselves in my hands, going to allow me to diagnose and treat and to help them. What a joy that would be. And then others who despise and go by. Our Lord Jesus is the great physician. His clinic is open. And those who know Him, He delights it when we run to Him with our helplessness and our needs and cares. And He's the one who can help. He's the one who can pour in the Holy Spirit to heal and to change and to strengthen and to give victory in our lives. And He delights when, like the dove who admits, I'm helpless, runs to the cleft of the rock, that ready-made opening that has been made by someone, something else. There it goes, not seeking to dig its own place of refuge. You're here today digging your own place of refuge and say, that's the only way I'll ever trust and have confidence for the future. It's something of my own making. Let me tell you, you're a fool. And you're not displaying the dove-like nature. The Christian attitude is the one of brokenness over self, seeing our emptiness and our inability. We fly and flee to our wounded Savior, who delights to care for us, delights to bless us, delights to help us in every way. Now again, let me make it clear that as sinners, we are loved because of Calvary. And that's where we must go first to be saved. But after Calvary, in a spirit indwelt life, we need to live as the dove. We need the habits of the dove. We need that purity, that holiness of heart as the dove. We need to live in this world mourning over its sin and fleeing to the wounds of our Savior to know help, grace in every time of need. Are you a dove today? In our homes, do we have that dove-like nature? Gentleness, meekness. We tend and enter into the worship of God's house, one of the flock. Do we gather together that mourning over our need for grace in a world of sin? Faith firmly in the Savior today. And you say, yes, this new life has begun in me. I'm changed. Not what I should be, but praise God, I'm changed from what I used to be. That's the testimony of every real Christian. Everyone's in the church of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says to us, oh, my dove, arise, come away, my fair one, come away. It's a call. And I bring you back to that heading, the church's hope and call to life in the Savior. Amen. May the Lord bless His word.